Hi, okay, so tell us a little bit about, for people, a lot of people wouldn't be acquainted to with the idea of a universal basic income. Can you just sort of describe the concept of the universal basic income?
Yes, by all means. I'd just like to say the contrast between the living wage and the basic income aren't over their aims. They basically aim for social justice, both of them, and for social justice and a decent standard of living. So, they're not against each other in those overall aims. But the other thing is, of course, there's a lot of job cutbacks, there's a lot of casual, low-paid work. There's even been terrible wage theft going on. A lot of people raise the question, are robots replacing jobs? But then the question is, how much? Unions in some countries have been very weakened. And, we've got the job cutbacks from hospitals to parks and wildlife. Okay, so the basic income is basically just money. So it helps make ends meet. It allegedly provides freedom from work. Now, this varies because a lot of people can work and receive a basic income. There's evidence, some is positive. It's not all, the outcomes aren't always clear. The actual amount of the basic income varies in different countries. Cash to very, very low wage impoverished people, say in Brazil, has certainly cut extreme poverty. There's an idea in the UK which would be £71 to adults and £143 a week to pensioners. And it would include disability and housing. Then there are some really bad versions of the income, which were designed in the 1970s by right-wing economists, which was designed to remove all forms of social security and all forms of public resources. And in those scenarios, the idea is that it would definitely entrench an underclass permanently. So there's that worry, but that's at the worst end. But nearly all basic income proponents do suggest there'd be other benefits that would be removed. So that's how that one works. The difference is the way they're funded. So the living wage, with obviously an increase in proper decent jobs on a living wage, it's about the way the funding happens. So it's about understanding money so that taxes don't actually pay for government spending. Taxes are sort of collected, as it were, later. So we know what main governments do. We've seen what robo-debt has been doing to people. We saw earlier that Prime Minister John Howard brought in work for the dole. But the problem is how generous it could be if it was going to everybody, a basic income, because taxes create the demand for the state government,
So
for the state currency. So that's the sort of problem about how.
would a policy like that be better sort of targeted sort of at the particular individuals with a particular sort of income below a certain amount so that more could be spent on the people in the most need?
Well, it's not a matter of how much more. And when you say targeted, well, we're really moving to what we already have, which is various different people, particularly on a disability pension. A lot of people have massive expenses just managing with certain disabilities. Old age pensions were one of the big fights to actually get it all. So there's a whole range of different benefits. People with large families, younger kids, but then you talk about providing public services like childcare, free education, more decent public housing, those sorts of things. So that, a lot of those public expenses are then met by employing people on living wages, if you see what I mean. So the two go hand in glove.
So
public housing's desperate, as you know.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the living wage and how it differs from the minimum wage.
Well, it's really what it says. It's a wage you can live on. Whereas the minimum wage is often not at all a wage you can live on. By the time you've paid to get to work, you have the expenses. You have to often, those split shifts are terribly difficult. You have to go back and forth from work to not, you know, to home. Expenses mount up. And so the living wage is something where one can really live on. So, and of course it's taxed. So this is where the link goes back to people in paid living wage work. And also there are the sort of social benefits of, you know, retaining Medicare fully and all the people who are unable to work. So the idea is more, being much more loose about people who are ready, willing and able to work. There should be a living wage with decent job conditions. So, and if you're in work, you can improve work, if you see what I mean. But if you're not, you know. So that's the other sort of idea about, you know, welcoming everyone into the wider world, you know.
So
people should be free to do useful, much-needed work, you know.
So can you tell us a little bit about, there have been some trials, this is just finally, I mean, just there have been some trials of the universal basic income. How effective have they been in...
Well, they've been tried. Canada have a very, very low one. So it was not really, really much. There was a conditional one only for those with families. In Brazil, it was a very low amount. As I say, there's one plan in the UK, which will be 71, but they had a very small sample somewhere in inner London for that one. Switzerland's tried it. There have been various other countries that have tried it, or some have started on a very low one, sort of more like an allowance sort of thing, you know.
All right, well, we'll have to leave it there. That was Professor Jocelyn Pixley, Honorary Professor from Macquarie University's School of Sociology, shedding some light on the notions of a living wage and universal basic income.